Can I get some light? There we are. Well, good morning. Well, welcome to At the Movies. It is a fun series that we try to do every summer and everything, and just pick out some movies. And I actually love that movie. My kids saw it when they were little. In fact, they saw it every day over and over and over and over again. And it's a lot of fun. And we do this series because I'm a believer that everything has a spiritual message, that God is the founder and creator of all truth, and that truth comes out in everything. And I believe in our culture that, like, the church is no longer the center of a community and everything. We've kind of drifted like that, but the movie theater is. And so a lot of people are learning of doctrine and theology from movies today. And so why not take what was meant for evil and turn it into good? And so that's our thought behind this. And so this morning, yes, we are talking about beauty and the as old as time. I like I said, I love the story. My daughters loved it. We watched it over and over again. And when it came out, new version, I like it a lot too. But actually, this story about Beauty and the Beast, it actually dates back a couple of thousand years. And so it wasn't until like the 1700s that an author in Paris kind of put it together and made a story out of it. But it's actually a story that's gone on and on and on, and it's been passed on and on for thousands of years. Everything. And if you don't know the story, then just ask my daughters, but a little hint and stuff. It's the whole idea about there's this prince that, he's handsome, he's got everything, but he refuses to be loving. He refuses to be selfish. And so he's cursed to become this hideous beast. And the only way the curse is broken is if he comes and falls in love, and he understands and meets true love and everything. And, oh, it's so beautiful and all this stuff. And so we know the story about it and everything, and this idea of it being cursed, but I'm under the impression and under the belief that all of us are a little beastly. that this story dates back from the fall of man, basically, that there is an idea that there's a curse. Just like beasts. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel cursed. And I look around on this planet and I see all the things that are going wrong on it. And it says it looks like a curse. It looks like, man, this is just not how it was supposed to be. Because I believe God created us to be the beauty. Except we made a choice to say, God, I want to do it my way. I want to be selfish, and I don't want to do what you're asking me to do, and I don't want to be who you're asking me to be. I'm just going to be whoever I want to be. And so all of us as beauties have become beasts. I love C.S. Lewis, one of my great favorite authors. He said this: the lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded. See, I believe with all my heart that God created us to be a beauty, but in fact that we have become beasts. And that every one of us has demanded our own freedom, our own way, and the world is full of lost people that they're getting exactly what they wanted. And so this morning, that I want to look at it. As we talk about this tale as old as times, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we have them available. If you just raise your hand, one of our leaders will give you. If you like your electronic device, we have a Wi-Fi here. It says GBC Guest. Just type in Find More all over. Follow along with us right there. There's a lot of great Bible apps. We like using the Faith Life app, because actually you can follow along the entire service. And so it's just an option for you to download that app later. But this morning, truly the only words that make any difference are these words. They're not mine. It's these words. I can come up with all kinds of neat little jokes and stories and all kinds of stuff, but these are the words that change lives. And so I'm going to ask, just out of respect of these words and acknowledgement of their power, if you'll just stand with me as we open up and we read God's word. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, starting in verse 17, he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirits of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Will you pray with me? God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity just to gather, God, to open your word and to hear from you. Father, we know, God, if we are completely honest, Father, that there are problems in our world and there are issues in our life. God, I pray for understanding this morning. I pray for insight this morning as we just dive into your word, God, that Father, that you will just fulfill the promise that your word will pierce our hearts. God, let it be your words and not mine this morning. God, hide me behind your cross, Lord. And God, we ask for ears to hear and hearts to respond and for the courage to live it out. God, speak to us, move in us, and change us, Father. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, and may you get all the glory. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, this is a tale as old as time, and it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful fairy tale, and I believe with all my heart this morning that God does want to give us happily ever after. That God really wants us to understand that there's something wrong that we chose that he can fix. And that we were meant for so much more than what we are doing. What's the song? So much more than this. What's that? Provincial life that we're living. I believe that hard. But we have to kind of get to the root of the system because, as I said, I believe that we've gone from beauty to beast. I believe God created us to be beauty. God created us to be perfect, and there was a time when there were no problems, there were no issues on this planet, that everything got along, that we were made to be beautiful and to live forever, except we gave that up. And the truth is, in the movie Beauty and the Beast, what's happened is he has the outward appearance of what's happening in his heart. The problem with us is we hide it so well that you don't necessarily, he had the actual physical appearance of what his heart looked like. And for all of us, we need to understand that there is a beast inside. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul kind of describes our issue and our problem that we all do. Verse 10, Paul writes, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open gate. They use their tongues to deceive. Venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's pretty harsh. That's kind of hard, and when you talk about like venom and mouthful of cursing and swift to shed blood, that sounds like a beast. But the truth is all of us in this room this morning have the same thing in common. We have all turned away from God. We have all said, "God, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. I think I have a better plan for my life." That is the original problem. When God created us and he placed Adam and Eve in the garden and he said, "Here's everything is for you, but I just need you to stay away from this one tree." Even then they said, "Well, maybe God's holding back something and maybe God doesn't want us to know something. I want to do it my way." And that's always been our problem. When that happens, we are separated from God. We turn from a beauty, from this perfect creation, into a beast. The fact is sin is our curse. And we don't like to talk about sin, do we? It's not like on the top 10 preaching topics on all the preaching blogs. Hey, if you want to get your church fired up, tell them they're all sinners, you know, and everything. We don't talk, but it's true. We have to understand that this is part of us, and it comes naturally to us. It is an issue. I don't think any of us can watch the evening news and say there's not a problem. I mean, think about it. Who taught you how to lie? It came naturally. I remember the day my daughters, when they were little, the first time they lied to me. I'm just saying they knew it was a lie. And they're just like, "No, I didn't do it. It wasn't me." And, you know, I knew it. It just comes natural to us. So it's built into us. And so there's curse that's laid upon us. And the problem is for us is it doesn't always show on the outside like it does in Beauty and the Beast. But it's in there. And there's nothing we can do about it. I've done self-help and I've read all kinds of stuff and I still have issues and I still have problems and I still deal with things because I can't fix this issue. This is at the very heart. See, I think so often we talk about sin as the things we do. In fact, I've been at churches, and a lot of churches still do. We teach a behavioral gospel where it says, don't do this, don't do that. You know, do this and do that, and if you do that, you're going to be fine. You remember, you know, don't cuss, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do. And you're going to be good. But it's that those are just symptoms of something deeper, a deep beast inside of us that said, God, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. And it has destroyed and wrecked everything. But the good news is God looked at us and he says, I don't want to leave them that way. They have their problems. I've given them commandments. They can't keep them. They're always messing around. I gave them a sacrificial system, but that's only temporary fix and all stuff. I want to fix this problem the only way that I can. And so in this, love is the key. Isn't that the key in the movie? It's love. If he can figure out what true love is and actually feel love and experience love and give love, then the curse will be broken. And you and I can think that we can love people and we can love our spouses and we can love our families and we can love our friends. But I'm talking about a love this morning that none of us can comprehend. A love beyond description, a love beyond anything. You know, God, I love the Greek. Greek gives us three different words for love. There's phileo, which is kind of the brotherly love. There's eros, which is kind of the sensual love and the physical love. But then there's agape love. There's this love that God gives where he doesn't ask for anything in return. It's just solely given. And then love is the key. In fact, turn your Bibles over like one chapter to chapter 5. And so seeing us that we have gone from beauty to beast and seeing how we have just given up everything that God has given, God's love comes in. Starting at verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God came in, he says, you can't fix this, but I can. And Jesus enters this world and he dies on a cross. The perfect man who lived a perfect life that did nothing wrong paid the ultimate price for everything that we have done. And steps in and offers that and offers a payment for all of our sin. Because that's what the Bible says, for the wage of sin, the cost of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's what happens. God comes in and he says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to give you a way back to the beauty that I created you to be. Even though it's your selfish choices, even though it's your desire, even though you looked at me and said, no, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to give you a way back. And so God's love steps in through Christ and it transforms us. And it restores us. You know, we always talk about God's transforming work, but there's also the restoration work. See, you and I were never meant to live as beasts. You and I were never meant to live in a world of chaos and hurt and brokenness and all this stuff. And praise God, one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to restore everything. But in the beginning, he starts with us. He restores us back to the beauty. And it doesn't take a pretty girl coming and dropping a tear. Remember the end of the movie? Like, I love you. And the tear drops and light shoots out. And, oh, wow, he's good looking. I made the right choice, you know. It's not about that. It's about God that looks into you and he sees everything all through the mess and everything in our lives. And if you're sitting here this morning and says, but Pastor, you don't know. I've done stuff and I've gone away and I'm too far gone. Can I just tell you something? There is no one on this planet that is unredeemable by God. That's a powerful love. I don't care what they've done. I don't care. I don't care if they're a terrorist. I don't care if it's Adolf Hitler. There's no one unredeemable. by God's love. We just have to recognize that. That's a love that I can't comprehend. That's a love that does transform, and it should transform. We should look different from that. And so for those of you that maybe you've never done that, God, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to say, yes, man, I'm tired of being a beast. I want to be a beauty. I want to be all that God created me to be. But for those of that has lived that and have made that decision, we understand that sometimes that beast comes and rears his little ugly head. You know, Paul even said, he says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I know I should do. That there's always kind of this struggle and this battle. And so how do we keep the beast at bay? You know, it's God's work to transform us. It's God's work to redeem us. But I believe that we have a portion of that where every day we have to choose to do certain things. Every day we have to choose obedience over disobedience. And that we can walk in this way where only the beauty shows and not the beast. But I think so many of us, we get to the point and we made that decision and we have followed Christ, and maybe it happened when we were little kids and we've grown up in the church. But then we walk out of these buildings. We walk out on Sunday morning and it seems like nothing has changed. That I'm still struggling with the same issues. I'm still struggling with the same sins. I'm still struggling with the anger and the unforgiveness and the bitterness and the pride and the lust and all those things. I'm still struggling. So if God can renew me, why is it not working? Well, I think because we've made it something we do on Sunday morning, maybe. See, we can keep the beast at bay. We can become, and the first thing is we have to have a different walk. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Our life has to look a little bit different. Something has to have changed. Now listen to this again. Paul says this in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's us before Christ. You know, our common ground all over this planet, this is why I love the church. It really doesn't matter your bank account, your background, your race, your color, any of those things. None of that stuff matters. Your nationality. The one thing that draws us all together is we are all in need of a Savior. Every single one of us. The foot of the cross is level ground. There's no one better. There's no one greater. You look at these people in the Bible and say, but there was Paul and there was Moses. They were just like you and me. They struggled. There's no difference. We all needed a Savior. And when we accept that and we do that, there should be a change that happens in us. The problem is there's too many people walking around that say, I'm a Christian, that don't look anything like Jesus. It should be a different walk. It should be a different path. When I repent, really, literally, all that means is I was going this way. I'm going this way. It's a totally different path, and it should look different. The closer and the more we understand what God has done for us, the more we should be changed, because his goal is to turn you and I back into that perfect beauty, into the image of his son. And it should show. It should show in the way that we treat our families and the way we do our jobs and everything. It should look different. It shouldn't look like the rest of the world. That's a problem in so many churches today, that you just show up and you look at people and people say, well, they look the same as the people outside. You know, there was a day when the church was a place where, like, you had to be a member of church. If you were insurance salesman, car salesman, any of those people that work with the community, you had to be church, because that built your reputation. And so many people kind of used the church and just made this look like it. But as the world gets darker and darker, they realize the same people that are out there are in here. So why should I even go to church? Excuse me. It's a different walk. If you're a follower of Christ, you should look different. You should act different. You should be different. You should reflect the change that's happening on the inside. Which means when I love people in here, I should love people out there. I should do all kinds. it should look the same. You know, we're taking kids to camp next week. And already the question, I know it's happening in their heads, is like, well, and we've talked about it in youth. You know, how do I keep that camp high? How do I stay the same? You know, how do I keep going for God when I get back here? Because camp, that's easy. You know, it's all Christians. It's God everywhere. There's music and there's preaching and there's everything. And I would say it's the same thing. Listen, if you feel closer to God on Sunday than you do any other day, then I just challenge you. Then you should start doing the same things you do on Sunday every single day. Pray, worship, read His Word. You should be different. See, the problem is that we've allowed ourselves to fill ourselves with stuff. I love this. Psalms 1, verse 1. It kind of gives us a pattern of what happens to us. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." You notice a pattern there? See, what happens is we come to Jesus and we let God kind of transform our lives, but then things start going a little bit different. So we start walking where we shouldn't be walking. And the pattern is we start walking away from God, or we start in areas of our lives that we know God's not pleased in, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have His Word, we know that, and so, but we walk anyway. And so after a while, we stop walking, we just start standing there. We say, well, I'm fine here, and then eventually we get so comfortable, we sit there. And we get stuck in that place, and then we start asking, well, why don't I experience the more that God, that they always talk about at church? Why is there no power? There's no joy. There's no peace in my life. Why is all that? Well, I would say because you've walked, then you stood, and then you're sitting in a place that God never meant for you to be. See, it should be different. We should be walking with those that are like-minded and like-hearted. This is why church is important. That's why anybody that tells me, like, I don't need to go to church to be the church, I'm like, then you don't know the New Testament. You need to be around other believers. You need to be around people that are struggling the same as you, to encourage you and to spur you on. You need not to stand in the places where God says, no, this, don't stand here, and definitely don't sit in those places. See, we get so comfortable in our faith and our tradition, we forget about the power and the peace and everything that God has promised us. Because we walk away. Can I tell you something? God never walks away from any of us. We turn and walk away from Him. So how do I prevent that? How do I do that? So I should walk differently. But how do I do that? Well, I think it's something really easy. It's getting out with the old. Get rid of the old stuff. Look down at verse 20. Paul says, but this is not assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught Him. I think it's a shame, it's a tragedy that so many churches are teaching Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. See, we love the lovey grace and like bless you, Jesus. We like the flowing hair, the guy walking down the beach with blue eyes and the robes and everything, just going, bless you, Jesus, He's so nice. What we don't like is that Jesus goes in and turns over the tables. It says, I am loving and I am grace, but I am also just and I am holy, and I call you to be the same. And so I'm not trying to give you like a downer saying, wow, this was supposed to be fun, but you're talking about sin an awful lot, Pastor. I'm bumming me out. I just want you to know we have to understand that this is an issue, because when we understand the issue, we can understand the cure, which is Jesus. And that's what He says, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. All Paul is saying here, all God is saying in His Word, is like, get rid of all the old junk. All the stuff that you used to do, all the stuff you used to fill your mind and you fill your heart with, get rid of that and replace it. Get rid of the old stuff. We just cleaned our garage for like the first time in like, I don't know, forever. There are boxes that we haven't opened in almost 10 years that we opened and says, oh, it's like Christmas. And we started looking at stuff. Can we actually use that? Can we use that? We have a bread maker. Remember the bread makers? It has sat on a shelf for 12 years. I'm like, are we ever going to make bread? My wife's like, no. I'm like, put it in the yard sale. Let's get rid of all the old stuff. And she's like, good, we make room for new stuff. I'm like, no. But that's what we do. We have a rule in my house. When my wife goes and buys clothes, if you go into my closet, if you're like most guys, my wife has this side, and this side. I have this. We actually lived a place when I was in the Army where she put all my clothes in the hall closet. She's like, that's enough room for you. But we have a rule. It says, listen, if you're going to get new clothes, you got to get rid of some of the old. You got to get rid of some of the old. Give it away. Give it to someone and replace it because we only have this much space. It's the same thing that we got to get rid of the old. We got to get rid of some of those old habits. We got to get rid of those old things. Decide. We got to stop watching the junk that's on television that we keep watching or the movies or listening or reading or whatever we're doing on the computer and get rid of the old. And we fill it with something else. I love back in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, after it talks about this is what the problem is, but here's the cure. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Listen, if you fill your heart with these words, there won't be room for any of the other junk. And you will look different, and you will act different, and you will be different, and the world will take notice. This is why I'm always pushing, read your Bibles, download this app, download that app. Here's a devotional, do this. Don't take my word for it, take these words for it. But just fill your heart. Listen, you know the old saying, you know, whatever you fill yourself with, that's what you become. If you fill yourself with teacher stuff, you become a teacher. If you fill yourself with doctor stuff, you become a doctor. If you fill yourself with nothing, you become a lawyer. I didn't say politician. That was for you, Mark. Whatever you fill yourself with, that's what you become. And so if you are struggling with a sin, if you are struggling with a temptation, if you are struggling with anger and stuff, fill your heart with this. Meditate on it day and night so that there's no room for any of the other junk. And the beast will be kept at bay. And the world will see the beauty that you were created to be. Always. Always. And when we do that, we get the privilege of being a beauty for some other beast. See, our world is full of beasts. It starts with the acknowledgement that I'm a beast. And Jesus, you created me to be a beauty, so forgive me, come into my life. And then it comes the fact, now, God, I'm going to fill myself with you, God. I'm going to fill myself with your word. I'm going to walk different, and I'm going to look different. But then the next step has to be that now it's not for me to keep to myself. See, the truth is Jesus didn't create you to just be a pretty face. See, so many of us, we come to church and we get our fill, and we're like, this is good, and I've made a decision. We'll go to camp or we'll go on a mission trip, and like, wow, I just feel filled and so close to God. And then we just keep it all to ourselves, and we just glow just for the people around us, and we're so pretty. But God didn't make us to be a pretty face. God made you for work. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Just back up in Ephesians in 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love that word, workmanship. I love that word. In the Greek, it's poema, you know? And so that phrase can be translated into workmanship or his poem or his masterpiece, his beauty, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You and I have a job to do, that this beauty that God created us to be, to show the rest of the world that there's a better way. You want to have a firm step in your faith. You want to grow in your faith like you've never grown before, have an understanding of God and a sense of his power and his presence in your life like never before. Then live like him outside these walls. Tell your story. Tell God's story to everyone you meet. And you see God working through you and around you. And you become a beauty because there's a world out there waiting to see, is there actually a better way? And as a church, we are failing the world if we're not showing them a better way. Listen, my heart is to be a church that if these doors ever closed, this entire community would weep. To be a place that is loving people and shaping people and reaching people and seeing lives transformed and renewed and families restored and all those things because we are doing the work of God because we are becoming who he created us to be. And you know what that work is? It's very simple. Our work is love. Our work is to love people no matter who they are, where they come from, what they've done. It's just to love people, to love the way we have been loved. Look at in John 13, Jesus commandment I give to you. Another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. This all people will know that you are disciples if you have loved one another. Our work is to love people, to show them that there's a better way. To show them that, yes, I was a beast and God transformed me, and he can transform you too, and he can renew you too. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. It's the gift that we're offered. So the question is this morning, are you a beauty or are you a beast? The only thing that's going to change that is the love of God in your life. And the only thing that's going to keep that beast at bay is becoming more like him and loving other people. In fact, isn't that how the beast was restored? Because one silly little French girl that liked to sing all the time saw past the fur and the fangs and the ugliness and saw the heart. In fact, isn't that what God did for us? He saw past the fur and the fangs and the beast and saw our heart and said, I love you. I made you to be a beauty, not a beast. And we get to share in that. We get to be part of that. Listen, nobody in this room is going to save anybody. None of you have got the scars. There's only one that saves. There's only one that changes lives. But we get to be a part of what he's doing by just reflecting the beauty that he's put in us to everyone around. And it doesn't matter if, like, you've blown it. It doesn't matter if, like, well, I know Jesus, but I'm not really living. Like, it doesn't matter that, because every day is a new day. I love this. C.S. Lewis again. It says, God is not proud. He will have us even though we have shown that we prefer everything else to him. This morning, if you have shown preference to everything else except God, God still says, I want you. If you have done everything your way and your life is in shambles and your family's life is in shambles, God says, I still want you. I can fix it. I can change it. I can make you into the beauty that God created you to, that I created you to be. But we have to choose. I love that. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. Why do you think he put the tree in the garden in the first place? Because love chosen is always stronger than love forced. We get to choose. And so this morning you can choose. Will I be beauty or will I be a beast? This morning we want to give you a chance to respond to this. And you're saying, where the band's going to come up and play, and we're going to pray. And you can, like I said in the beginning, there's different ways you can respond. We have the prayer area. You can do that by yourself and go in there and take communion. You say, God, I want to trust you with my finances. I want to trust you with everything. We have tithes and offerings that you can worship God through. For those of you that haven't been around and weren't able here next week, you say, God, I want to be obedient because I know you've called me to a ministry. I know you've called me something, and whether it's one of those or something else that God has put your heart on, you put your name on one of those leaves back there and you drop an envelope or you stick it up there. When we get back from camp, we're going to start focusing on that. Maybe it's just for the very first time saying, God, I know I'm a beast. I don't want to be this anymore, God. Just change my life. But whatever it is, let God have his work. Don't leave here beastly. Leave here as a beauty, and then reflect that out there so the world will see that there's a better way. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. If you need to be prayed for, I'll be sitting right here. I'd love to pray with you. If you've never been baptized and you say, you know what, this is my next step. I need to be obedient. I need to get baptized. Come talk to me. We will set it up and we will get it done. Don't leave. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to show up to church and leave the same way that you came in. If you do, this was a waste of time. Let God have his way and trust that he made you to be beautiful so the world would see that there's a God that loves him. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much